been through difficult times, the enemy lying, but we came to give you the truth.
We here for the fight of our life, but we fighting Christ, so all things we can do.
We go to the end, people dying in sin, so now it's time for us to recruit.
Calling all the church, time to get to work, no more this hide behind the pew.
Ain't no time to wait,
we gotta move with hate,
cause this war is just beginning.
Hey, we gotta run the race,
they gotta set the pace,
we gon' keep on winning.
Don't leave all your past behind,
cause we soldier for Christ and we on the front line.
If you wanna teach and give sight to the blind,
then get ready, cause
it's time
about
time.
To God be the glory.
A Time to Harvest Ministries would like you to join us every Sunday for service, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m.
We say it's saved because remember, when your spirit is saved already, nothing can come against it. Because
if you miss a service or the live broadcast of it, you can tune into our Bible study show, God's View, following directly after service.
My expectations might just be, I just want $1 million in a big house. How about God gonna supersede that? Why would I want to believe if somebody could just speak and know that?
You miss a service and God's View? That's okay. We got you covered. You can listen to Pastors Roxana Becknell Show, Words from Above, every Thursday at 3:30 p.m. on Kingdom Supporter Radio Network. For more info on the Time to Harvest Ministries shows and events, or if you have a prayer request, interested in being a baptismal candidate, or you would like to partner with us, whether it's through donation or sponsorship, contact us at our website, atthm.com. We hope to see you in service real soon. Until then, we pray God bless you and produce an unexpected harvest in your life. And always remember, it's about the people.
About people, about the people, about the people.
Good morning, Facebook audience, and good morning, audience. Welcome to the Pastor's Ministry from Slidell, and we wish you a very happy Valentine's Day on today. Today we're going to be talking about our topic, of course, we're talking about the topic of love, that God is love, and that's what we are, to be love also. And I want to just admonish you on today that you just took the time out of your busy schedule to come and visit with us on today. And we just love you, and we just want to do well by you, and hope God is treating you well. And first of all, I want to remind you about some dates. February the 21st is my love day.
Dr. and Dr. Davis,
their church in Greater New Jerusalem in Allable Street in the Ninth Ward. And we want to thank him. He's going to be preaching the sermon on that morning. So we want you to just come in on that time. I think it's at 10:30. We're going to start coming in, and 12 o'clock is the time that you're going to try to broadcast. So we would like for you to be on that time or with us. And we just want to thank you again for spending time with us on this morning. But the topic is about love, and that God is love. And so, you know, people think about love as the different types of the touchy-feely love, the feeling of, you know, I have to have a boyfriend, girlfriend kind of love. It's not just about that type of love. It's about family love. It's about friendship love. It's about gathering together and being one with God. And that's the type of thing that we're supposed to be dealing with. So we're going to get started. Okay. We're going to get started on this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God on this morning. We thank you for those that are hearers, doers, and keepers of your word. And Father, we thank you right now as we go into this time and season that we're in, Father, that we don't miss the shift. that we know what's coming next, because you're going to give us the insight and the warnings and the wisdom to follow through. And Father, we thank you right now that this moment, at this time, that you decrease me and increase yourself, the Holy Spirit, in this place. And Father, we thank you right now that those that are hearing, that they begin to act upon the word, become action with the word, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name, we pray. Let us have a blessed day. Amen. And Father, we thank you again for just coming in. God is love. And so today, Valentine's Day, is a day that people deem as a lover's holiday. And are people who want to share love with those around them. But it's a bittersweet moment for me. Because, see, this is the day that morning, about 2:30, I lost my father. And so that was the first person I did CPR on, and that was the first person I revived. And I said, well, Dad, do you want to stay or do you want to go? And my dad just looked at me, and I felt a pulse. And he said, his hand has been left. So on February 14, 2008, is when I lost my father. His birthday was on February the 8th. He had made 73 years old. And then at that time, he passed away on February 14th. So it's a solemn day for my mom. It's a rejoicing day for me because I know one day I'll see him again. But as he transitioned, you know, like I said, a lot of people, when they transition, they don't want to come back to this place. So that lets us know that there is a better somewhere else. So what happens is, however, when you look at God as the center of your life, see, we're supposed to have God in the center where we are. And when God is with us, then that means people can see him in us and around us. So as a disciple, remember, we're not just Christians. See, Christians are only followers of Christ. See, when the people were with the 5,000 men and women and children that were listening to Christ on the boat, and they were getting the 5 loaves and the 3 fishes and all of this, that was Christians. That was people that wanted to be Christ-like. But we as disciples want to now take time, not just to be Christ-like, but to be disciplined believers, so that we can now formulate living in a society that we live in, but now we're now disciplining ourselves to be more like Jesus. For example, many people give you one chance to do something wrong. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, they give you one chance. They'll say, you know, you're my friend until you do something wrong.
That's true.
But then at one time might not be the time that you want to give me something wrong. You might need to forgive me because God forgives me. So why don't you?
Exactly.
So we got to start maturing in some things and start developing some things that Christ now lives and becomes a part of who we are.
Exactly.
So, for example, now that you're just not branding people for life.
My God.
See, you're not branding them. You're not saying this is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
However, since I've been dealing with this spinal stenosis, I've had time to understand that life is too short.
Yes, it is.
To hold grudges on foolery.
Mm-hmm.
See, this has made me become more humble than the depressing time that I had before, or the times when I thought God had left me.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've had time to meditate on the word and got my back against the wall, now I'm coming out as a fighter saying, look, this is not it.
Amen.
We got to do more. I've got to train people more. I've got to baptize people more.
Amen.
Because God says this is what it is, because he is love.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned to love whether you forgive me or not, or you do me wrong or not. I've changed the way I see things.
Mm-hmm.
So love has shown me a new way to see life. He puts things in the seat of unforgiveness, then we got to do the same thing.
Exactly.
When somebody does us wrong, we got to just let it go. You know, we sang that song so eloquently, and when I taught it to the kids at MAP, and we was on, you know, let it go, let it go. You got to let it go. Because every time you hold a grudge, it hurts you and puts you in a place where God can't do nothing for you because you've got too far out. So God wants to bless you. And in order to bless you, then you got to change the mindset. We've been talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep thinking the same old patterns. Because see, we say that all things have become new.
Yeah.
So if all things have become new, that means we got to let go of the old ways.
Exactly.
So in order to do that, we got to have compassion for people. We got to start looking and showing our example in this flesh. Because Christ came as the deity of God in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So if he was our example on this side, then we can know that we can do what needs to be done on this side.
Mm-hmm.
So we must begin to renew our mind so that the word is what we eat, what we sleep, and how we live.
Mm-hmm.
What we eat, what we sleep, and how we live. Stop allowing the world to dictate your motives and your moods.
My God.
Love changes things, even how you think. What's God's love? God's love is going to show you how to get along with one another, how to forgive one another. His love is true. His love is kind. His love is compassionate. His love is pure. So if he's done this since creation, then what are you?
Mm.
As the creator, he made us like him. We said in Genesis that he went and he said, let us go make man. So when the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and him got together, they said, well, let's make man. That's the only thing in creation that he touched.
Mm.
See, everything else he spoke. So if he touched us, he molded us, then he breathed the Holy Spirit into us, then we should be able to breathe the Holy Spirit into others when we come into contact with them. So he replaced us. See, Jesus got on the cross. We put him up there on every Easter. But he's finished with the cross. He's up there on the cross. He died. He bled. And now he replaced us in that place. And he said that, look, I'm going to prepare for his place. So if he did this, then he has to love you a lot. So marriage is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
When two people get together, there's intimacy because you get into me, you
mm-hmm.
see.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if I'm getting into who you are,
mm-hmm.
that means I'm a soul to you. My soul ties is coming into you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that happen when you intertwine with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So God says that this is how we are to tie ourselves with him, that intimacy. God wants to be where you are. He wants to help you where you are. He wants to be where you are. He wants you to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
So your heart began to develop. Since dealing with the temporary ailment of this thing, I've even become more humble, dealing with less foolery, and I've become more mature in God. So there are three things, and I told my media to put it up. You need to be mature, you need to be real, and you need to be safe in God. Those are three things that God wants for us. He wants us to be mature.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be real. He wants us to be safe. Because in other words, if I'm mature, then that means I'm going to have a different mindset. If I'm real, that means I'm not going to hurt you because I know that you're real and I'm real. See, the Bible is being taught, but everybody's learning it in different interpretations. So in different interpretations, then you might learn it one way and I'm going to learn it a different way. And then we interpret it a different way, so that means you might not have compassion for me. But in other words, if we learn the same thing, then we should come out with the same values. We should come out with the same morals. So maturity, being real, and being safe. So the first scripture, 1 John 4:7-12. So I'm gonna read it a little bit. My beloved friends, he says. Now this is John. He says, let us continue to love each other, even since love comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is what? Love. So you can't know him if you don't love. That's common sense. If God is love, is and mass is equals. So if it's equal to, then that means I should look like love. And God is going to look like love in me. So if he says my beloved friend, that means he got to have some love for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, let us continue. That means never stopping, never ceasing. Always continue in love. Love each other, since love comes from who? From God. So if he made you, then God is what he is. So everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship. So now, if I'm going to be with you, I'm going to experience a relationship with you, then I got to be sincere, I got to be true, and I got to be real about it. Can't be perpetrated. So the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. See, if you don't have it, you're not gonna know it. So in 1 John 7:21, then that it's gonna be it. So my thing is, the next one is Colossians 2. So the next one says that I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. Now let's go back to the beginning. He says, I want you woven. Mm-hmm. Woven means that I'm sewing you in. I'm sewing you in to the tapestry. It's like the chairs you're sitting in. They're sewn together by needle and thread or by a machine, putting each thread into a place so that everything fits together.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're woven together, that means now you're in a tapestry of love and in touch with everything there is not to know of God. Then you will have minds confident. So that means, just like I said before, if you are reading the same Bible that I'm reading, mm-hmm. and you're doing the same things and carrying the same values, mm-hmm. then we should look the same and we should think the same.
Exactly.
Everything out of us should ooze out the Father. So if that's the case, then we're coming out of that same picture, that same tapestry. We're confident and at rest. See, not just rest in sleeping, but rest in knowing the stability of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on Christ, God's great mystery, all the richest treasures of wisdom. Knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. So if that's the case, then we should look like God.
Exactly.
All the time. So if that whole thing is we're looking like him, that means we are woven into love. And if we're not woven into love, then our values, but then we're not for him. So what God wants us to do is to be mature. So maturity means I'm not going to think like regular people think. I'm not going to think like your neighbor thinks. I'm not going to think, you know, just like the world thinks. I'm going to think mature like Christ thinks.
Exactly.
And then in maturity, I might have love in me. Because mature love is different from just regular eros or just, you know, the worldly love,
mm-hmm.
or that brotherly love. That love is going to be so tight, so you're not going to do nothing. Because remember, I didn't use the verse that for Christ, you know, for God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. We know that, John 3:16. We got that. But are we understanding how deep it is? See, people got love, but they don't have love. And I'm going to let that sink. See, we got it. You know what it is, but we're not taking the action to do and work upon it. So in this case, I'm delighted now. I'm telling you this because I want anyone leading you off on a sambaru shape after other so-called mysteries or the secret. I'm a long way off. True. And you may never lay eyes on me. But believe me, I'm on your side. Right side beside you. I am delighted to hear of the careful and orderly ways you conduct your affairs, and I'm impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. See, when you get in Christ, and you really get in Christ, and you know who he is, and he guides you, and the Holy Spirit who is here, not left just as a comforter, but as a person, is so that you can go to him personally to use him on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
See, God wants us to do what needs to be done. And so when we look at it, we look at what we is, and in my minister is going to get the next verse of Psalms 86, and we're going to look at that, Marty. And so we're going to look at that of what it is, because we got to be mature, and we got to be real. Psalm 86, verse 6-13.
Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy work. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name.
The first verse is what?
The first verse is, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication.
So if we give ear, God wants us to give ear.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he says, hear, my son, my instruction. We talked about that last week in Proverbs. Hear, O my instructions. Hear my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hear these things.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got to start doing them.
Okay.
Not just sitting there and we just going to church and then we're not doing it, we're not using it. It has to become a part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at it, he says that I'm hearing these instructions. And then the next verse is what?
In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me.
So if we know that God is for
mm-hmm.
us, not just that who could be against us, but we know that he's for us, that in the days that we have issues and troubles and trials,
mm-hmm.
situations and occasions, that we know that we can go to him. And we can trust in him, knowing that he will come if we lend ear to instruction.
Exactly.
Now, see, you could be doing your thing. You know, you could be living your life
mm-hmm.
like it's golden. Well, guess what happens? If you're not living your life like it's golden with God, then guess what? He's not going to answer.
Exactly.
People wonder why prayers are not answered. Prayers are not answered because you're out of order. You're out of your lane. And when you're out of your lane, then God can't move for you.
Right.
He'll send people for you to help you. You got to recognize the help.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't recognize the help because we're too busy doing our own thing.
My God.
What's the third?
Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works.
Because God is. And just like this morning, we said that in this case, God is love. God is going to be whatever you need him to be at that particular time. When we listen to the song of early morning prayer, God is the joy and the strength of my life. He removes all pain, misery, and strife.
Mm-hmm.
He promised to keep me and never to leave me, never to fall short on his word. So guess what I got to do? I got to fast and pray.
Mm-hmm.
I got to stay in the narrow way. I have to keep my life clean
exactly.
every day because I want to go with him when he comes back because I've come too far. And I never turn back because God is. So if God is the joy, he's the truth, he is love, he is all whatever I need at that moment. The Holy Spirit is in the earth to be the same thing because God is where he is, sitting high.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is sitting about the right hand of him. Then the Holy Spirit is left here to help me go through and maneuver through this society we live in.
All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name.
So if all nations, that means every nation that we have, from the Romans to the Ephesians to these empires, every nation is going to bow down when it needs to bow down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to see God when it needs to see God.
Mm-hmm.
But we know as his disciples, not Christians, but his disciples, that we carry a different call.
Come on.
He says, let us go make disciples out of them, baptizing them. So if Matthew is telling us this is what we're to do, then that's what we need to act upon,
mm-hmm.
to make disciples, not just Christians. So the next one.
For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone.
All by himself. Because he says, I am God.
Mm-hmm.
All by myself. So if this is the case, and this is in Psalms, now first we went to 1 John, which is New Testament. Psalms is Old Testament. And if all of this is strung along in the middle of this Bible between Genesis and Revelation,
mm-hmm.
then we need to know who God is.
Uh-huh.
He says, in the Old Testament, I'm still here for you.
Exactly.
In the New Testament, Jesus came for you, Savior. He didn't come to bring peace.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming back to do that. He's not going to bring peace right now. He's bringing peace to your life.
Mm-hmm.
Individually, if you accept it.
Come on.
See, we got to sing that song, WP, it's on earth, on church, and in Christmas. No. He didn't come to do that. He came to save your spirit, bring mm-hmm. you back to the Father. That's what he came for. He says, I came to redeem man.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever was finished is finished. That the commandments that were there, he did, is finished. So when you look at it, maturity, that is what you see, and when you live, and how you think, how you meditate, how you live like God in the earth. not just church folk. Anybody can be church folk. See, maturity is when you are like God, you see what God sees, and you dislike what God dislikes, and you like what God likes. That's maturity. You have to stop looking earthly at things and look more spiritual. Because remember, you're more spirit being than you are flesh.
Mm-hmm.
See, and see, one time somebody asked me, well, I didn't know we were three parts. Yeah, you are three parts. You are made just like the Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you have flesh, you have a soul, which is your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotion. That's who you are. That's what makes your soul. That's why the devil wants your soul. Because if he can get your soul, he got your mind, he got your will, he got your intellect, he got your emotion.
Exactly.
So that's why he wants all of that. Because if I can emotionally get you out of thinking like God, then I can take your flesh and do what it wants to do. And I can make your spirit come out of itself and become like the earthly people that's walking around here now, that's literally dead.
Come on, guys.
See, we got a long lot of teaching to do. I told my colleague that this morning. I said, why is it that, you know, we pastors, we new ones, got so many issues hitting us, and everybody hurting here, and everybody's hitting here, because we're teaching what is true. Devil don't want that. But I'm sorry to say, we're going to keep doing it. So you know that your life is a part of the Father who is like Jesus. Your mindset is different. Your worship doesn't mean a song to hype you up. Don't take a song to hype you up. But it's just knowing and anticipating the word of God, living in a new way, a new season, living at a different level of maturity, knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I had a conversation with somebody that was 75 years old the other day saying that I'm not sure if my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not even sure if I'm saved, but I hope he remembers me when it's my time. And I said, you 75. I hadn't heard him call her number. I said, you don't know. What you mean you're not sure? Oh, I'm not sure if I know, you know, if I'm in there. Well, did you do the sinner's prayer? Yes, I did the sinner's prayer. But then why are you not sure you don't know? Because she don't fellowship. Fellowship sharpens you. People don't understand. It's not just iron sharpening iron. It's getting you in, keeping you in the right mindset so that you can always live the constant life, the intentional life that Christ wants you to live. So you know, so never question this. So real love is not just what Mary J. Blige talked about. You know, real love is when Jesus died on the cross. And we're going to experience that today with communion. But he rose again with all power in his hand. He loved man that he protected us, even from the garden. Think about it. If we would have took our sinful mind, put it back in the Garden of Eden, which is a good place, we would have messed it up. Look at what we got now. Think about it. If we would take our sinful mind, put it in the Garden of Eden, we would have messed it up. We can't even get it together now. So if people are not learning the Bible and living and changing and living what they talk about, then we can't change that until we change ourselves.
Come on.
And changing ourselves meaning that we got to live like the days we were in Eden. We was, and Noah saved his family. Think about it. When they got off the ark, only 8 people were on the ark and millions of people were on the earth. But only 8 people got saved from the flood. Animals were saved on there that they were told that, you know, came to the ark, but only 8 people got saved. How many gonna get saved this time when Jesus returns?
Yeah, I know.
We need some help, y'all. We need some soldiers that's gonna go out there and say, look, this is what it is to be saved. And look how I'm living saved. So if 8 people got on the ark, how many gonna be on there this time? You know, Lot's family. Think about it. There was the wife, the Lot, and the were the 2 daughters.
Yeah, not the mother.
The mother turned around, and he told her, "Don't look back." And she turned to a pillar of salt. And so, but the whole city was destroyed. God said, "God, don't I didn't destroy the whole world. Now I got to come back and destroy city by city because people are not listening." And he's gonna come and destroy the same earth. But with fire this time. So he saved his family. And so David from Saul. David was running from Saul because he didn't want David to be king. And Jonathan had to come and help his friend, which was Saul's son. So from, you know, in Nebuchadnezzar with Daniel. Daniel was in the lion's den. He was saved from that. So God is like that as our refuge. He keeps us safe in a haven of a place so that nothing can harm us too much. We might have issues. We might have some trials. We might have some tribulation, but it won't hit you to where it's hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
It won't break your heart or your continence. Mm-hmm. Your surety will then know is love. And it starts to transform you. You know, it says in Romans 12:1-2 that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yep.
Then that's what's going to happen. So the more you renew your mind to the word, the more you know who you are, the more that you can become like Jesus in the earth. So in closing, I command you and I admonish you and I want you to live intentional for God, that you know that you mature, that you know that you're real, and you know that you're safe. Because we're going to need all of this. Because there's another shift coming.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe worse. It's going to be worse than this, what we're dealing with now. We got masks on. We never know. We might have hazmat suits on next door.
God help us.
We just don't know. But it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
We might be living in a little time of a little rest. But don't get too relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to stay woke and stay ready. So you need to stay mature, you need to stay real, and you need to stay safe. Thank you, Facebook audience. Thank you, audience that is here. Thank you for tuning in on today to ATTHN.com on Time to Harvest Ministry. Thank you.
It's time to let the world know. It's time to harvest.